Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf then catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to pick it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay down my life on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is overwhelmingly informative today in the Holy Scriptures. You have Jesus during his lifetime when he was preaching, gives us this beautiful story of the shepherd. Now, shepherds laying down their lives for their sheep. It doesn't mean that they're going to protect them only. In the days of Jesus, there was a gate holding the pen closed for the sheep. And at night, the shepherd stayed with the sheep in the fields. And he would close the gate, and he would lay down at the threshold of the gate, so no one, wolf or thief, could come into the fold and destroy or hurt the sheep. So Jesus sees this, and you can just see him walking along, and maybe sheep in a flock over there, and the shepherd's gathering them in into the fold, and the fold has the gate around it. But the final gate is the closing gate. At night, the shepherd would lay down there at that spot. And Jesus says, "You know, I'm the good shepherd. I would do that for you. I would lay down my life for you so that evil can't come in or you don't leave the fold. I'm always there for you." And he says, "My Father sent me this commandment, so I live it out. So you can call me the good shepherd because I'll do that." And you can just see that happening and the minds of the listeners saying, That's quite a risky role he's taking, because a shepherd, don't forget, besides thieves, has to lay down his life and protect his sheep against wolves and wild animals, which means picking up his staff and fighting. Jesus is willing to do that for us. Okay, that's the story. It's here. We'll look at that a little intently in a few seconds. The application of that is from the letter, the second letter we read, the second reading we read from the letter of John, and says, just think of it. Think of that story of Jesus and his sheep. See what love the Father has for us, that he let us be called children of God. So now we're getting a little deeper into the metaphor, and inside the pen are the sheep, and not that we're animals, but we are the children of God. And we've become children of God so that we could become like him, like our daddy in heaven. Hold on to that. The first reading happens on what we call Pentecost Sunday, the first Pentecost Sunday. So the first reading was really the most recent, you might say. It happened after John's, before John's letters. It happened after Jesus is speaking. But it's the most vivid because it happens that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit inspires the apostles to go preach. Peter goes out and preaches, and at one point he cures a man. And everyone's amazed, and he says, why are you amazed? I just did something good. I healed a crippled man. And he makes sure he takes no credit. I healed the crippled man in the name of Jesus the Nazarene. Later on, when John's writing his letters, he says, the reason the world does not know us is because the world does not know him. Now we get to the gist of our message. Does Jesus act through you as he acted through Peter? Peter says, don't give me credit. I didn't heal the man. Jesus acting through me healed the man. So the message is getting stronger and stronger. Jesus protects us. Jesus will lay down his life for us. But Jesus is doing the Father's will. And when we follow Jesus, we become Jesus to other people. When we receive the Eucharist, his body and blood, we are nourished by Jesus himself to leave here and be Jesus to one another, which means taking care of the sheep. We're not sheep. We're not living in the fields. Who are the sheep? Look around. When you wake up in the morning, who's there in your home? Who are the neighbors you see coming down from your home? Who are the people on the streets? Some sheep who hear his voice, so you know they're going to church somewhere, or they're following the scriptures. But some sheep don't hear his voice, but he's also concerned about them. And they're not in my flock, but I'm concerned about them. I came for them too. And that list can go on and on. You know more people living here in Manhattan than Jesus knew in his lifetime. Jesus' world was what we call the Holy Land. You've met more people than he ever would meet. Even though there was one story of him feeding 5,000, okay. But between the streets and the news and TV and all the social media, you know more people than he did. So he knew that some of the people who followed him were willing to be his sheep. And what does that mean? We'll hold that in a second. And the rest, outside his fold, were also part of his mission, part of the fold. And it was up to him and his followers, you and me, to bring them in. So now we're looking to the outsiders, those who don't know Christ. Interesting, on Good Friday, we pray for all the intentions of the world. We pray for politicians, we pray for the church leaders, we pray for atheists, we pray for Jews, we pray for those who don't know Jesus. They're all in the flock. They're all being called. And it's up to you and me as Christians living in the world today to bring Jesus to others, especially those who are, quote, outside the flock, who don't know his name. That's up to us. You see, what Peter did was very informative. He accepted Jesus in his life. And when he healed, he had the power to heal. Get up and walk. Get up and see. Get up and be cured. He had that power, and he made it very clear, it's not my power. It's the power of Jesus in me. And what I did was in the name of Jesus. And that's where we are. That's our challenge. To show Jesus to the world. John says the reason the world did not accept Jesus is because they didn't know him. Now that he's resurrected and well known for 2,000 plus years, it's up to you and me, through our actions, through our words, through our leadership, to let Jesus be known to people. Now, does that mean all of us have to go around preaching? Well, I don't preach all around. I preach here or whatever church I'm at, physical, specific preaching. But as St. Francis said, we all need to preach. Sometimes use words. So how we act, what we do for one another, how we accept or reject one another, how we forgive or are prejudiced toward each other, is all revealing what the world should know about Jesus, because we have Jesus, like Peter, we have Jesus within us, and what we do reflects Jesus, and what we do as it reflects Jesus shows the world who Jesus is. There's a famous saying by Mahatma Gandhi. People said, you know, your teachings are so Christian. Why haven't you become a Christian? He said, I'll become a Christian when I see one act like a Christian. And that's the challenge to all of us. From the day Jesus gave this beautiful metaphor of him as the good shepherd to now, I'm a little off with being referred to as a sheep. However, sheep are cute, sheep are pretty, and sheep are cuddly, but I don't want to be a sheep. And I don't want to be a shepherd either. Shepherds are great people. But in the time of Jesus, not so great. Imagine this. They slept with their sheep. Not sexually, I'm saying, but they slept there out in the fields with their sheep. They stayed in the fields day after day after day. They were scruffy. They were dirty. It was smelly. As a matter of fact, the general public in Jesus' time didn't even want shepherds in the temple because they had such a reputation of not being clean, and you know the Jewish reputation of cleaning everything, utensils and themselves, and washing themselves before they go to the temple and all that. And the shepherds weren't clean enough, which is another interesting facet that Jesus would use a bum. That's what you and I would probably refer to a shepherd as if we saw one in the street, a homeless bum. Homeless person. Jesus used that image and applied it to himself. So don't get on your high horse. This is to all of us, and me included, that we're better than anybody, and better than a person in the street, a homeless person, or a relative. We're not better than anybody. Jesus identified with the poorest of the poor. And he challenges us to hear his voice and follow him so we can do what Peter did. We can heal one another physically, let them walk if they're crippled. Maybe not all the time, but it happens, of course. But to heal the heartbreak of someone, to heal the lostness of someone, the mental illness of someone, sometimes by listening, sometimes by referring, sometimes bringing the person to a facility, sometimes just having a cup of coffee and sitting down listening to a neighbor who needs to spill his or her heart. See what it means to be a good shepherd? Doesn't give you any special ring. You always see the picture of Jesus, the good shepherd, with a clean sheep on his shoulder, and he's all, you know, spick and span, his hair's all done up nice. That's not, I mean, pick up a dirty, stinky sheep and put it on your shoulder? No. We were in the Holy Land, and we're outside Bethlehem. There are usually sheep walking around. I think they do that for the atmosphere, to let us feel, you know, we're in Bethlehem. And we were there a few years ago. There was a cute kid, teenager, with a spotless sheep on his shoulder. And the first thing you want to do is pet it, touch it. I didn't, because I'm afraid of fleas and bugs like that. But it was such a pretty picture. I have a picture of it. That ain't reality. Not reality. Because you and I are not spotless and clean and pretty and handsome and pure. We're people. Sometimes down and dirty. And so are your family and your neighbors the same. So what Jesus is not saying, I want you to be nice, clean, sparkly, pretty, handsome sheep. I want you to be a sheep. And hear my voice as you take care of your sheep, as you lay down your life for your sheep, as you feed and nourish and love your sheep. What does he say? I am the good shepherd. And he'd like us to be good shepherds, hearing his voice and doing his deeds for one another, who are also sheep.